welcome to Radio Radar episode 115. I'm your host, Henry Gilbert, and this is the podcast for the website Games Radar. I almost said Radio Radar is the name of it. But yeah, it's the website where we talk about all the coolest things happening in the world of video games. And I do this with
Lorenzo Valoria,
Anthony Snyder,
Maxwell McGee,
and Ashley Reed.
And we're all just a bunch of fun folks having a good time here.
On the
last hours before I go on a big vacation. I'm really looking forward to it.
You got the whole trip all planned out. Yeah. You know where you're going to go. Super Potato, other used game stores.
Super Potato, come on, man. That's like Child's Play. Actually, you don't want to go to
Child's Play.
You don't want to go to Super Potato because that's where all the gaijin go and they just buy it.
That's true. It'll be all cleaned out.
Well, it's cleaned out and they know that foreigners are coming too much for it. So just like, we can double the price on this thing. Ooh. They'll pay it. They'll pay that much for Mother 3.
Can you haggle in Japan? It's not like
I don't think it's
thing?
Like no.
If by haggling you mean
price
you
tags,
go up to buy
tag.
Something and they say something at you and you just sort of hand them a handful of bills. Yeah. I hope this is enough, and they give you some back and you're like, oh good.
So when I went to Mexico, I was so proud of myself because I actually haggled with some people. I'm like,
really?
Yeah. I'm like, I want this. They're like, this much money. I said, how about you give me this and this for that same price? And they're like, no. And then I just kept going.
That's a really good story.
Good work.
Like that story? Okay.
All right. But so let's get into... So yeah, the sooner I'm done with this, the sooner I can go finish other things. So, you know, the episode's over now. Thanks for listening. Dun, dun. No, all right. The top seven for this week was a delayed top seven, but we're doing it now. Worked on it some months ago.
Yes.
And unfortunate circumstances made it something to put on ice. So now we're doing the top seven lawless cities.
Yep, that's the one. Top seven lawless cities in gaming.
As written by one Ashley Reed.
That would be
Are any of them actually called Lawless City?
No.
That'd be cool.
But a lot of them are close.
It's a missed opportunity.
The letters of the word law is in one of them. So, I mean, if that helps you. What? Okay, why don't we go into a thing? What? Oh, you need to see it. Just right.
There are elaborate hand gestures happening right now.
I didn't print it out because I couldn't print it out. The printers weren't working today, guys.
Oh,
sorry.
Weird.
A little behind-the-scenes information there. So, is there a top seven jingle of some sort that we
there
want to
might
play?
Just be.
Let's wait for it.
Secret. I hope you guys turned up your earphones all the way.
Yeah. Technical difficulties. Let's move on.
All right, number seven.
Whoa. Is Liberty City from Grand Theft Auto. Mm-hmm. I think, at least for me, I don't know if everyone agrees with this one, but at least for me, Liberty City, they might have cops, but they're just so useless. Why even have them? You can pretty much do anything you want, and all you have to do to get away with it is go to a garage to get your car repainted, and they forget you exist. So what good is law if it's not even effective?
Well, and if they do arrest you, then they just take some money from you. Like, well, those 17 homicides, yeah, it's pretty bad,
like,
but
meh,
that'll be about $12,000.
And yeah, in a city... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
In a city where you can steal a jumbo jet, crash it, fall out of the sky, survive, and just go about your business and escape the cops after like less than a half hour, that's a pretty lawless city, whatever law enforcement may exist there.
I forget if they did it in, I can't remember if they did it in GTA 4, but in 5, they pretty much set it from the beginning like, well, the cops are like, they're a military force hired to be cops. They're not the police. So it takes off some of the, oh, aren't we killing police officers? Isn't that bad? Kind of feeling that you get in other
games. Oh, we're just killing the military.
Yeah, it's like we're happier with killing our soldiers.
Private military, a PMC.
Wow.
Mercenary for hire.
Everyone hates them.
Yeah, they're always
Mercs.
Evil.
Yeah, PMCs are always evil. Also, if you really want to see a lawless city, have you ever, you know, turned on the code in GTA games, which is like, bystanders go crazy, where they just all like start acting like super violent, and just everyone attacks you, and they just like run straight at you.
No,
that sounds like a zombie mode.
Like bystanders have weapons, and it'll randomize what weapons they have. So sometimes yeah, sometimes I got rocket launchers. So you'll be driving around and you'll just see in the distance. I got fired.
Just like, oh, well, okay then.
I'm not going that way.
Well, so that's what it would be like if everybody in GTA acted like the player character acts in GTA.
That would be fun. Yeah.
That would be amazing.
They ran out of donuts.
They actually, fun fact, they actually have a couple of glitches that make some drivers crazy and they'll just like plow you over and it's like, oh, so that's what that's like. That's what that's like. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like GTA Online. Sorry.
Number six
is Omega from Mass Effect. So this is right. definitely the oldest of all the really shitty cities, lawless cities in video games, because it's been around for a couple thousand years and has a reputation for basically being a den of sin. Mm-hmm. You go there for gambling, prostitution, murder, anything you really
so
want.
What makes trifecta. What makes it different from Mos Eisley Cantina?
That's
it's not
good
so
question.
Wretched, or it's more wretched.
Sounds pretty wretched from her.
It's pretty. Yeah. It's pretty terrible.
And full of scum and villainy.
Yeah, I think it's Mass Effect. The Mass Effect universe is equivalent to the Tatooine
bars. Pretty much.
Bars.
I was making fun of the fact that Mass Effect is like, oh, it's a Star Wars thing. Yeah. They just called it a different name.
Totally.
I mean, does Garrus Vakarian show up in Star Wars? I don't think so.
Well, and this is kind of like it's like a space station, not really a planet. Right. Where like
it's like a derelict asteroid or something. Yeah.
It was a mined out asteroid or something, and so let's now live it's all here. Messed up.
Okay,
so
that's where they
we'll
get
have
all,
a party.
That's where they sell a bunch of drugs and. They have the prostitution rings there.
Yeah, that's it exactly. And that's where Garrus' whole team gets killed.
All the good stuff. Yeah. That's where Garrus is hanging out and he's just, you know, killing a bunch of gangs.
Is that where the dancing club is too?
Yeah.
I mean, that's there are many dance. Of them, but yes, that's like the big one.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, well, it's where you do the dirty dancing.
Well, so what makes it like dirtier than, say, the Citadel or something?
There's way more neon lights.
The Citadel has some veneer of respectability. Like, it kind it, you obviously know deep down it's terrible, but it's not so forward about it. Omega's like, yeah, you want to kill someone and screw a prostitute? Come to Omega. We'll take all your money.
Yeah, and then the Citadel also has CSEC, too. So they have, like, a police force where this is kind of. Who's the leader? The
Arya.
Yeah, she's just kind of the authority there, and she's not even like
until Cerberus shows up.
Yeah, she's not police. Until she's just the power.
Some it's would true. Even say Omega is lawless, wouldn't
what?
You?
No, in a city.
Number five
is Freeside from Fallout. This place is basically part of New Reno. This is where I get messed up. Is it New Reno or New Vegas in the fall?
Oh, New Vegas, I think.
Okay, there we go. In Fallout, and it's kind of attached to it, but it's where they send all the degenerates that they don't want in their big, nice society. So they're basically left to die while there's other groups coming in trying to integrate. So they have the effectively what are, I don't want to say race war, but that's kind of what it is.
Sounds like kind of a prison or something, too.
Sort of, yeah. So you have all of the dregs of society together, and they hate each other. And that's Freeside. And you're just murdering everything.
So what are the
hate crimes.
What's the
constant.
Benefits of living there, then? Are there any, or do people just end up there? And
cheap stuff? Rent?
Nobody lives there by choice, basically. Yeah. It's the people who were there before it became a shithole, and then it's the people who got shoved over there because New Vegas didn't want them.
I see.
Not the best place. Not the best place. Though I believe it's Freeside where you can show up, and if you have a really terrible reputation, there's like, oh hey, we love you. We'll sell you stuff at a better price.
That's nice. See, there's
nice people.
There has to be at least some benefit to these places. All right, number four.
Number five. No, you're right. Number four.
Yeah,
I messed
right.
that one up. Number four is Dunwall from Dishonored. So
one of your favorite places.
It is. It is one of my favorite places.
to live?
Your city of sin,
No.
Guilty.
But basically, this used to be a really well-run city with a decent police force and good living conditions. And then the beginning of the game happens and everything just goes to crap. You show up 6 months later. The cops that are, well, the guards, I guess, who are still around are basically gangsters themselves shaking down the populace. Anyone who's even suspected of having the plague infection is tossed out of their homes. There's a whole conspiracy by different nobles to get other nobles thrown out of their homes so they can take all their shit. And the poor people are getting screwed the worst. They turn into basically horrible zombies that attack everyone. So if you think someone might be a horrible zombie, you just like beat them to death in the street.
Where did the plague come from in Dishonored?
Rats, right?
It was just the rats, but like, rats where did everywhere. The rats get them?
Actually, it was the rats, and the rats were planted there by the big bad. Spoiler, sorry. He like basically was like, I hate poor people, so I'm going to kill all of them with a disease. Oh, crap. The disease got away. This sucks.
I totally didn't put that together, or I missed the line or something when I played that game. I have no idea.
I think you did.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
Boy, that place sounds really crappy.
You love it?
Don't you get the ability to throw rats later or something?
You get the ability to summon them out of the ground, and then they eat whatever they come up under.
What?
So that's
that was
pretty cool.
That was my entire Dishonored game. I played full chaos, just rats.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. I just summoned rats and threw grenades.
The protagonist of
rats
Dishonored
and explosions.
Is the Rat King anything. From Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
That's the secret ending.
Well, the place, that's one of those games where it changes the way you play it, right? So if you're playing the more chaos thing, chaos style, then the city actually like gets worse as you do bad things, right?
It's true, and I guess this is a huge spoiler either way. If you really, really, really screw up, the entire place literally collapses on itself, just like a festering cesspool of rat shit and death. Nothing.
Number three is
Thieves Landing from Red Dead Redemption, which, I mean, just from the name, you can kind of figure out that this isn't really a place you want to hang out. It's just a town out in the desert, just full of all the worst kind of scoundrels.
Also the best poker games, though.
Yes, though don't cheat, because there's definitely a corpse somewhere in the town with the phrase cheater carved into his chest. So don't mess around with the people of Thieves Landing.
Yeah, but if you wear a nice enough suit, it works. I remember going to that place and having two feelings about Thieves Landing. One, that it is like more deadly than any place in the world because it had water. Like, it has like a bridge on it. Like, if you fall off that bridge, boom, instant death. Like, you accidentally ride your horse over the bridge to get to like your home in Thieves Landing. And like, I died like three times on that.
Oops.
And then second, that it showed that John Marston is not a GTA character, because when the prostitutes offer themselves to him, he goes like, I'm married, can't do it.
Oh, thank you, ma'am.
No, thank you.
How good of him. How good of that man.
He's a happily married man. Like, yeah.
And that happily married man, if he does go to Thieves Landing and he has a high reputation for being a terrible man, he also will get better prices at the store. He'll get sold items for less, and they'll buy his stuff for more. So it pays to be an outlaw around there.
Good to be bad, huh?
You could just gun people down there too, right? And like,
yeah,
nobody
cares.
Nobody will really care.
Just like, they shouldn't have been in the way of your bullet.
It's my favorite place to do duels. Yeah.
Yeah, those Deadeye duels are always fun.
You just walk in on a poker game, just shoot everybody. Bah, 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 bah,
I really want
the money.
I really want a sequel to that game, man.
Oh, man. Yeah,
I
me
think
too.
Pretty much like get in line. I think.
I know.
Does.
It's just been like 5 years. If Rockstar was less interested in making giant GTA games every year, I feel like they'd have made two of them by now.
Yeah. They would have made a Bully.
If they
two.
Were like Activision or something.
Bully yeah, next gen Red Dead's gonna be awesome.
No, they wouldn't make a Bully 2. That didn't sell anything. Red
they
Dead
said
sold
they wanted
crazy.
To.
Well, there's a
There's a want
That'd
and
be
then
their
there's
pet
money.
there's a want and then there's like sales. Yeah, all right, number two
is Rapture from BioShock. And unlike a bunch of the cities on this list, which just kind of got crappy as bad things happened there, Rapture was always designed to be lawless. Basically, their one rule was don't take anything from the surface and everything else was fair game, which did not turn out very well for them. So in addition to being lawless, it then became like a terrible, terrible place because people were massively abusing drugs and turned into homicidal maniacs, and that was all totally fine. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, just continued to spiral out of control.
It was a Randian utopia that immediately fell apart, like, and just got worse every day because there were no rules on anybody. They could just do whatever they wanted.
Exactly.
There was no limits on science.
Which
or,
was all
or
kinds
drugs
of
or,
drugs.
Yeah, in most cases it was drugs or science or, like, you doing unethical experiments that like ruin people, and then just a lot of behind doors murder. And so, and then it just all goes to crap on New Year's Eve.
It does. And it's not all just like, it's not just behind the doors murder. It's behind the doors all kinds of terrible crimes, like kidnapping. They're like, well, we need these little girls to harvest the atom, so we're just going to take your daughter. Goodbye.
Transform him to unaging children for the rest of their lives.
Like, exactly. And, well, we need to control the populace, so we're just going to put a pheromone into the air that makes them homicidal at our will. That's fine. No laws.
And give them more drugs. Man, can you imagine those... The drugs that they gave him, it's just like, here's some bees that come out of your hands.
It's like, why would you think?
That is some crazy, crazy drugs.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if I'm high or if this is really happening.
There's bees coming out of my hands.
You know, it's good.
At least in the very first trailer for BioShock, the guy uses that and he sees the bees climbing out of his arm and starts shrieking at the top of his lungs as he's using it. I'm like, that is the appropriate response.
So mechanically speaking, like, if that happened every time he used that power, you would be annoyed as a player of just like, all right, yeah, it's a scream, got it, it's scary.
I'm guessing that's why I didn't show up in the actual game. Freaking out.
And then by the time Jack gets there, everybody is just like either is a corpse or is just like a mutilated monster person. Like,
and they got even worse in BioShock 2. Like, you see how the graphics got so much nicer, so you see just how deformed and awful they are, and it's like, oh man, ugh.
Well, and then in what was that one? The Infinite DLC. Also, you did get to see Rapture in its heyday, but it still wasn't great.
Like, yeah, it actually got creepier because there's definitely a moment where in the very beginning, you walk down the stairs and there's this woman standing over this baby carriage, like playing with the baby. And then that exact same woman shows up at the beginning of BioShock with the revolver in the baby carriage talking about how everyone's dead. And it's like, oh no. Awesome.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty dark.
Yeah, I should play that. Number one
is Arkham City from Arkham City, which, I mean, there's really no competition for this. It's literally a city designed to be full of maniacs and sociopaths committing every crime they could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. And for those not in the know, basically...
Well, yeah. Well, it's kind of taken from the comics. So an earthquake came that messed up a part of Gotham. Then Dr. Hugo Strange came in and was like, well, you know, we don't have an Arkham Asylum. We do have this messed up town that nobody can live in. Why don't we just put all the Arkham people over here? And Blackgate people, too, because Blackgate had to get closed down. The Blackgate prison for non-crazies. Crazies go to Arkham Asylum. Non-crazies go to Blackgate. And then he just put them all into this one place, partially because it was a secret plan of Ra's al Ghul's to destroy Gotham, the city that Batman protects, but also just because Dr. Hugo Strange is a crazy person who loves to experiment on human beings, and this seemed like the perfect petri dish for him.
And I would definitely say that's the case, at least in a psychological experiment way, because not only do you have the Batman villain psychotics in there, but you also have just poor people who were like political prisoners, basically. Like, they spoke out against what Gotham was doing, and it's like, over the fence you go. And so you've got this microcosm of different levels of crazy all together, and some people just trying to survive. So
the political prisoners, I thought, were a slight cop-out because, like, Batman needs to save somebody in a fight, right? Somebody is getting beaten up by another guy. That gives Batman the excuse to beat up that gang of people who's beating up that one guy. But then if he's doing that in Arkham City, then who did he save? Like, another criminal? Like,
crap.
Like, I mean, even though he did the right thing by saving that criminal, he still helped a criminal. And so, like, it would feel weird. So instead they're like, oh, no, there are innocent people in Arkham, and they'll say, oh, I'm innocent, so thank you for helping me, Batman. And you're like, conscience clear.
He should have just saved, like, the prisoners that weren't, like, huge muscle heads. Because, you know, all the guys that he beats up are just, like, buff-ass dudes. Yeah. And they could pick on, you know, the smaller guys, and they could just be prisoners from, you know...
Tax evasion.
Yeah.
And so minor drug offenses.
I just, you know, didn't pay the government any money, and why are you beating me up?
I was a narc that took it too far. Please.
I could see, like, a guy who was...
It was a third strike for just possession. Just simple possession, man.
I broke my house arrest, dog.
I can see somebody, like, they've been evading, like, child support payments, and Batman saves him. He's like, thanks, Batman. And he punched them in the face. Yeah. Like, pay for your kids.
After he rescues them.
Yeah.
But yeah, nobody cares. Like, people are forming gangs within Arkham City. Like, nobody is really taking care of anybody there. Even though there are, like, some guard. The only guards there are just on the walls to shoot people who try to leave, Batman included. Yeah. And also, another thing that's effed up is going on there. Somebody is like murdering people and cutting their faces off.
And I mean, that's totally cool. And that's the thing, too. It's like no order. They don't try to enforce any order within. It's just like, just don't let them out. Yeah. That's the only rule. You can't leave.
Yeah.
It's a great thing. And I can't wait for Arkham. Arkham Knight. Like, sucks.
It's probably going to be better for it.
Hey, of course, yeah.
You see what happens when you don't delay games to make
them
better.
Yeah, boy.
Right?
Oh, we'll be talking about that after the break when we come back. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Radio Radar is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can download audiobooks like Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, and Ready Player One. Download a free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/gamesradar.
And we're back. Hey, thanks for listening again for this. Why did I say that now? I was just getting in. I'm in the groove here. All right, guys. Current events. I'm going to turn this back towards me. Thank you, Ashley. The current events. You know, I didn't write anything down, but.
You forgot the song.
Sorry.
Awkward silence.
I like how this jingle is just abnormally long.
This is current events.
It really is. It's not longer than the community segment,
it's
though.
Like 30 seconds long.
I am looking at how long it is. It is not.
Still point.
Well, all right, so I would say the biggest news this week was around the big releases, and that would be the Assassin's Creed games, and also to a lesser extent Halo. Like, both of those came out and were pretty buggy. Like, and we're used to like these giant day one patches these days. Like, it's just that, oh, a game came out, I better download a giant day one patch. Like, Evil Within had it. Destiny certainly had it.
Alien.
Like, Alien. Oh man, Alien. Yeah, I remember. Before we got the game, like, it had this giant spreadsheet of, like, you're going to play this, and it's before the day one patch. So if you see these things, like, that's getting patched. Yeah. It was just like, this door doesn't open.
I can't craft items. There.
Like, you can't craft items. Like,
yeah.
Oh, good to know.
And it sucks when you're reviewing these things, because that's before the day one patch, so you're just playing an unfinished game.
Like, I hope it all comes together.
It is kind of theoretical after a fact.
I remember going to a review event for a game I will not mention, and I definitely got a cutscene where no one was talking. Like, their lips were flapping, no words. And then it ended, and then I was shoved back into the fight that happened before the cutscene. I was like, oh, what's this? And they're like, oh, yeah, we know about that. I'm like, good to know.
Well, it's just the games have such, like, hard release dates. Like, no, this has to be out this day. Like, you can't miss it. Like, and if you do, then, you know, like,
no one's going to buy it.
Well, then you ruin. If you don't get it out in November, then you've lost all your money. And I think that's, like, that was Ubisoft's way of thinking. Like, it's got to be November. Assassin's Creed can't come out, can't miss November, especially when Unity was supposed to already come out in October. Like, so they just pushed it and were like, the patch will fix it. The patch will fix it. Sure. And
patch it.
We believe in patch.
And
glue.
I think the problem, one thing that's, you know, in this new era of PS4 share buttons and all that stuff, it lets people share cool moments, but I think it also just lets people share a ton of glitches they wouldn't normally share.
There was one, I can't remember which, like, Reggie shared a picture. He is like, Ubisoft, I changed my mind. Please don't render any more women. And it's young Elise, and her face is completely missing. It's just her mouth and her eyes. It's like,
There's a number of
and
missing,
the teeth, right?
Yeah.
There's a number of missing face images out there, and then just the usual, like, people falling through the floor.
That video that you guys sent out earlier today was Arno was talking to Napoleon, right?
I don't think that was Napoleon. It was somebody important.
Somebody important. important.
Who we will not name.
Oh, sorry, my bad. Cut that out.
It's in the trailer.
Right. But anyway,
there's a video, and these guys are having this important conversation, and then all of a sudden these two NPCs just pop out of nowhere. Like, they just fell right out of the street, like, and just landed in this office.
And
they're just like, oh! Oh, la.
Speaking French, angry French.
As they're talking through the cutscene.
Yeah,
cut
he didn't mention it was a cutscene. It was,
And it was like they were gawking at their whole conversation the entire time. Like Arno would say, oh, I need to go and find this thing. And they're like, oh, la.
And well, that's what made it so weird, because you had the English-speaking actors, and then you had, like, the French-speaking NPCs freaking out. And it's like, what are they saying?
Yeah, it's
amazing.
It's not been great. It's not been great PR for Assassin's Creed this week.
Even though
we'll talk about what they're like, it reviewed well by us. It's just like, if it is working, when it's not working, maybe not so great.
Actually, don't forget the microtransactions.
I actually feel the need
on top
to.
Of that.
Ugh, those microtransactions seem really gross to me.
That was the nail in the coffin.
Ugh.
What? How bad is it? I'm not up to speed.
So far, in what I've played, I've only seen it. There are these blue chests that are all over the environment, and they're like, you have to use the companion app to be able to access these chests. And it's like, okay, I'll use the companion app, assuming it was free. It is not. So you have to pay for the companion app to go around and get all these blue chests, which admittedly you can't avoid. There's nothing forcing you to open those chests.
The game's just constantly like, hey.
It's just constantly reminding you of what it's trying to do, and you're just like, fuck you, game.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you paid 60, but that's not enough to get the full game.
Assassin's Creed's been doing that a lot. They have all the pre-order DLC stuff. I used to like it where you could actually earn all the weapons for your weapon rack in game without having to pre-order things from Best Buy and GameStop and do
all
these things.
Or at least if they tagged it to like Uplay, then it was, oh, you played the last game.
Yeah.
So here, have Altair's costume there.
Yeah.
I'm actually furious because of the main assassin outfits, only Altair's you can only get through using the companion app, and I just want to like flip a table. Like, no, I don't want any of the other ones.
Just give in.
Just wait like 8 months.
Pay to win.
Assassin's Creed, Unity, whatever, Gold Edition will come out. Everything will be included.
Everything
in there.
Will be
gold. Yeah, there it is. True. All the bugs will be fixed.
All the Creed, bugs will you be need fixed. To That's pay. What you got to do these days. You know, if the game comes out, just be ready to wait a year and then buy the actual complete.
Wait for the goddies.
I would also point out if you're going to buy any Ubisoft game, they without fail slash the shit out of their prices
on
Black Friday forward. Like, I bet you'll like $40, even maybe $30 for Unity that will be out there, because Ubisoft always does that. Like, it's crazy to me to think some people pay full price for an Assassin's Creed game, knowing
you looking at me?
What are you talking about? Also, speaking of actually buying Assassin's Creed, you got kind of screwed over by a retailer this week with your pre-order, correct?
Yeah, a little bit.
I think it's a positive that this retailer was actually just selling, instead of just doing a dumb midnight launch, like, it's midnight on the East Coast, there, boom, just come in, it's 9 o'clock in California, buy it.
Like, which is definitely, it was definitely awesome, like, I'm not gonna say it wasn't, it just sucked because I was, like, 2 hours away and did not know about it, so I wouldn't be able to actually go again, and that's a long story, that's why I was two hours away.
I wonder when people are gonna start selling their things, like, at Australian midnight, like, midnight in Australia, here you go, like...
As soon as possible.
They clearly have it the whole day.
Well, the same way they did it with, what was that game? They did it with Call of Duty just recently. They're like, oh, you pre-ordered it? Okay,
Day
get
zero.
It on Monday. Yeah. When it really was, everybody just gets it Monday.
Day zero,
like,
yeah.
Monday. Yeah. It's an interesting way to sell games.
Like, did you pre-order? I'm pre-ordering it now?
Yeah.
it comes out tomorrow?
Well, with all the...
Technically, you are buying it ahead of time, so yes, here you go.
Yeah. Well, they have all the pre-download stuff now, too. So you basically download the entire game beforehand
Nintendo's even doing that with Smash Brothers.
Oh, I saw that.
Wii U, Nintendo's first preloaded game.
They're in the now.
Actually,
they're in 2009.
Like, I guess.
Well, no, like 2004.
Oh, console.
Like, okay, fine. They met up with Steam from 2004.
Right.
Ouch.
PC.
I didn't understand what preloading was for Half-Life 2, which was now 10 years old.
Yeah.
Look out
Happy
for
birthday,
some feature
Half-Life.
On that. But yeah, like I had to have preloading explained to me. Like I remember there was like a Penny Arcade art comic that was like, well, it's like you can buy a sandwich and the sandwich will be in your fridge, but you can't open the fridge until next week. But you know it's there.
Yeah.
You know that sandwich is there.
It's ready.
All right.
It's waiting for you.
Previews. We definitely had a lengthy Half-Life. Halo 5 Guardians preview. Dave Houghton wrote up. Definitely worth reading. And in all the wonderful ways, it's totally not like Destiny. Definitely not.
Absolutely not.
Not even close.
And also, guys, watch the archive of this week's stream that I did playing Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Excellent.
I appreciate everybody that watched it with us, but I wish more had.
Yeah.
But hey, go back and watch it now. Like, we were playing it ahead of time. It is out in Japan now, so fine. Any jerk with a Japanese Wii U can stream it. But
if we got a Japanese Wii U, we could be those jerks.
We keep saying that. We just need to do it.
Yeah. But now it's too late. Honestly,
no,
like, it's too late.
Never too late.
If we should have bought it before Hyrule Warriors came out. Then we could have done Hyrule Warriors, Bayonetta 2.
You should get it.
And Captain Toad, and just say, like, man, screw you, embargoes. We got Japanese games. We'll play them all day.
Get one now for next year.
Zelda. While I'm going to Japan, I'll just buy it.
Just a giant space in my bag. Yes, do that.
Just ship it to yourself.
I'll be very disappointed if you come back done that.
We'll just buy it off PlayAsia. Let's just do that.
Okay, that too. Mm. That also works.
If the company's paying for it, let's just do that. Anyway, let's get into the review discussion. And there were four big reviews this week. So why don't we start with Ashley, with the combo of Assassin's Creed games. Now, you did not review Assassin's Creed Unity, but you played a little bit of it and are familiar with our review for it, correct?
Yes. For anyone who has watched the video review of Assassin's Creed Unity, which you totally should, Lorenzo and I knock it out of the park, all of that video footage was me. So all the stupid crap that you see happening, that's all me. You can make fun of me for that. But I did get to play it a little bit while recording that footage, so I kind of am a little bit familiar.
I would hope you played it while you recorded it.
It's like, nah, I was sleeping. But I know there's been a lot of problems so far with Unity. A lot of people have run into some pretty heavy glitches. I actually, when I was playing, did not have that problem. I don't know what it was, but most of the glitches I ran into were just really funny. Like, Arno would fall through a hole and land in a pile of hay that wasn't there and then fall through the hole again. I'm like, what? But it wasn't like a game-breaking thing. It was just kind of humorous. And with that gone, I think it was easy to appreciate. The characters are really interesting and funny just from the bits that I've played. The story is compelling. I'm like, oh, okay, what? I'm really actively interested in knowing what's going to happen next. The world is, as a bunch of people pointed out, making fun of me on YouTube for this, the world is huge! Like, completely gigantic. It's, for every inch of outdoor space, there's an equally large indoor space. You can climb all over and inside Notre Dame, which is really cool.
It's pretty impressive.
It is. And a lot of the things that people absolutely hated about the last couple Assassin's Creeds, like the tailing missions and crappy eavesdropping missions, those are gone. Eavesdropping has been massively...
Wonderful.
Yes! Eavesdropping has been massively simplified. You don't have to, like, follow behind a guy while he, like, runs through an obstacle course and you can't be seen. It's just, hey, go stand over there for a second, listen to this guy. That's all you have to do.
And yet, this next-gen Assassin's Creed, people are saying it's not as good as Black Flag. Like, that it's lacking in ways from Black Flag.
I think that I've been hearing something to that effect, mostly due to the glitching issues. I think Black Flag was a lot more finished on arrival, which... Yeah, that is definitely a good criticism for this. But I feel like it is interesting what it does differently than Black Flag. They actually added a lot of additional content. They took out that you still do fetch quests and collect-a-thons, but the fetch quests and other sorts of missions are a little more intricate and complex. Like, you have murder mysteries where you try to solve a murder mystery, and that's pretty fun. And all of your all of these side quests you can do have like multiple tiers of things you have to accomplish. So it isn't just like a continuous thing over and over and doing the same crap. So that's nice.
So Louise Blaine enjoyed it. She gave it a 4 out of 5.
She
that's
did.
A great by our standards. So.
Oh, and I would note that she did also say that she really enjoyed the co-op and the customization, which are brand new for the series. So she was saying they did a really great job implementing that.
Meanwhile, you yourself played Assassin's Creed Rogue and weren't so positive on that game.
No, I was not. I definitely was not, for a variety of reasons.
So that's the last gen Assassin's Creed.
That is the last gen Assassin's Creed set in North America between Assassin's Creed 3 and Assassin's Creed 3 and 4. It's supposed to kind of bridge that story. And I was interested because I really loved Black Flag. Like, with all my heart, I love Black Flag. So I really wanted to see a follow-up to that that would bring the story full circle. And unfortunately, this, to me, did not deliver because it is a follow-up to Black Flag, but so much that it's actually really annoying. Like, pretty much they copy-pasted entire environments.
They copy-pasted it.
It was like a big copy-paste of everything from Black Flag. The environments were the same. The buildings were the same. The sound effects, the UI, the fonts were the same. Like, it was... I actually had to check the system. I'm like, did I put in the right disc? I did. Okay, I'm confused. And all of that kind of took away the enjoyment of exploring things and seeing all these crazy sites. Like, at least Unity, even if there are bugs and there's trouble with it, I get to see Notre Dame in all its glory, and that's amazing. In Black Flag, it's like, okay, I've seen that exact tree like 50 million times. Oh, there's a breaching whale. Seen that exact animation before. Okie dokie.
It sounds like they took a fair number of shortcuts. And what did you score that?
I ended up scoring that a 2.5. Not just because of that, but because if the story had been engaging, I think it would have saved it for me. But I was not able to sympathize with the characters. I found the story kind of boring. So really, all that saved it was the combat, which was very similar to Black Flag and therefore good. So that's why I ended up giving it a 2.5.
All right. Now to finally leave behind the world of Assassins, we will go to Maxwell, who played Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh, did I
like
ever.
You dove deep into the world of Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh, I had a real Sophie's choice to make, you know. It was either I could work on Dragon Age Inquisition or I could work on this other game that was coming up that a lot of people were excited for. Sonic Boom.
I kind of wish you had time for both. I really like, 'cause Sonic Boom, the video is coming out of it. It's just like,
it's so bad.
Is it that, like, can it, could it be the new Sonic 2006? Like, could it be that bad?
I think there's a very good chance.
And also because, like, people have been thinking, oh, Sonic Team is ruining Sonic. When they give it to somebody who isn't Sonic Team, They'll make a better one. Like, no, nah, these guys did a worse one. Like,
the Guido Juice Bag Knuckles, man.
Poor Knuckles, he was my favorite.
He's awesome.
Like, what about this series attracts so much badness? Like, what about it makes it just so awful?
I think that Sonic was never that good, honestly. Like, I think he started off...
And then Justin jumped across the Atlantic and punched Henry in the face.
Look, I played the crap out of 1, 2, 3, and Knuckles. And
those are good. I'll give you that.
But I still think they were based on, like, shallowness and flashy visuals, and there was no real depth to them, or that there was no real steward of the series to make sure it stayed good. Or it should be a series that stayed two-dimensional.
Back in my day, 8-bits were just fine.
It's 16-bit.
Cranky Kong.
but then they moved to three-dimensional. Like, we don't know what to do with this, but it has to be three dimensions to be a major game, so whoops, like... And then this one, like, from the look of Sonic Boom, they even get rid of just running. You're like, nah, it's a four-player friends hanging out thing. But that causes four movable characters at once causes, quadruple the
fusion.
Dude was streaming the game and was like, I can beat this in an hour. Look, skip, skip, skip. Oh. There, I just found the level, skip. Like, or he found that, like...
You can jump and pause the game.
Yeah, with Knuckles. Yep.
Knuckles has a double jump, and it's just like jump, pause. Oh, the animation resets. double jump again, higher and higher, and just fly to the top.
Yeah. What are you talking about? That sounds amazing.
Knuckles being able to fly is a canon trait of his character.
Yeah.
He's supposed to glide.
He glides.
That's true. Tails can
fly. He can't go up. Knuckles he can only glide.
Is he a flying squirrel or what?
He's an echidna.
Let's talk about Sonic
his
Boom.
Dreads,
the
his dreads. No, you're Sonic.
Yeah, let's not talk about Dragon Age.
All right. Come on, Dragon Age.
Dragon Age is really good. Really good. Expands upon the second game, which a lot of people didn't like, and all of the ways that it needed to. There's a lot of tons of mission, tons of depth, humongous world. You customize your character, you can customize every piece of armor and weapons that all your characters hold. I talked about all this stuff in the video review. One of the things that I didn't get to touch on as much in the video review that I also really like about the game is that you play, instead of being like Commander Shepard, where you're the leader of like this ragtag group of scoundrels and you guys are all going to band together and save the universe, or even in the earlier Dragon Age games where you were just sort of the small concentrated force fighting against something much larger. In Inquisition, you're basically a king. They call you the Inquisitor, but you're basically a king, and you build this army around you of the Inquisition so that you can fight against it starts out as the big evil portal in the sky, but then it turns into so much more later on. Oh, my goodness. but you're basically building this army around you, and you very much feel that you're in charge of something larger than yourself. And a lot of that is expressed, like, in the war room. You go into this big war room. There's a big war table, and it's got the map of the two kingdoms you're dealing with, and you've got all these agents at your disposal, and you're deciding which agents are going to tackle which missions on the war map, and are you going to sign a treaty with these people? Are you going to help broker a deal with these people? You know, which missions are you going to tackle, and how are you going to tackle them? And then you get these reports back that talk about, oh, you decided to send your diplomat instead of your spy to deal with this issue. You know, here's how they dealt with it. So you're sort of affecting change all across these two empires, and so it makes you feel really important.
It's much better than Dragon Age 2, it sounds like.
Yeah. Again, there's a lot more to do. Runza, you've been
the world
a lot
is
of well.
Massive. Like,
yeah.
I,
there's. Oh my god.
I've
so
spent
huge.
About 10 hours in it. I'm still in the same the first
the
section.
Yeah,
I'm
like
in
the
hinterlands.
Yeah, the
very
yeah.
first section that they've showed in all the previews and stuff. So I'm not really spoiling anything. But
right.
like, I've just been running around doing all the quests in there. I spent 10 hours. I haven't even progressed through the story yet, and I'm just like, you know, looking through spyglass skull things, mm-hmm. looking for
I know, it
like
felt,
items.
It felt really nuts, like when I started, because you arrive in the hinterlands and you're just walking around and like, oh, there's like a rift I need to close. Oh wait, there's some herbs I need to collect. Oh wait, there's another.
Yeah.
Thing. Oh wait, I need to collect these things.
And,
oh, I need to get.
And
that.
Then the map just keeps on expanding. Like right. you go to in one section, it's like, oh, you found this one section. You start exploring there and you find some quests, and mm-hmm. then you're like, okay, there's a lot of quests in this area. And then you walk across a river, and then there's another section where there's like fields and horses and stuff, and you get a horse, and then you ride around
doing
horses.
And you'll open the map up, and the little quest arrow will be like pointing up, and you're like, oh, it must be just up here, and you just scroll.
scroll,
like just through blank. You're like, I'm going to have to cross all of this to get all the way up there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And the world is also really dense. It's not like it's just like a field or a forest that's really plain. All of these places, they have lots of things to find. Like, there's just little quest mm-hmm. things. You could find a dead person that's like crushed by their own cart on the side of a road, and he's got a letter in his hand, and then that's a quest later. You like,
right.
It tells you to go somewhere, and then you get a piece of armor.
Or you can find a magical crystal skull, and you can just use it to find stuff, or you can be like, hey, what the hell is this? Please research this for me, research people. And then they do that, and it just expands and expands mm-hmm. and expands.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's intense, and it's huge.
And again, to go back to that sort of feeling that you're commanding this large force, in later areas, I don't think you do this in the Hinterlands so much, but in later areas, like, you'll arrive at this place and there's an old keep and like bad guys have taken the keep and they're all hole up in there. And if you go in there and kill all the bad guys and clean them out, you can move all of your dudes in and they'll take over the keep and set up like shops and stuff, and they hang all your decorations up everywhere. And then that spawns like a whole bunch of new missions, both like in that area and for the larger war table.
Yeah, see, I haven't even done any of that stuff. I'm just having fun running around killing things, and I haven't even gotten to this part where you're like building this whole army. So the game is massive, and then there's multiplayer too.
Yeah.
So it's huge.
We can't forget the most important thing that everyone really wants to know about, mm-hmm. that romance mechanic.
So I've been working on my romances. I actually got shot down a lot, and I ended up just been playing the field. I'm just like, does anybody want to hang out with me? Because I'm playing as a canary. I'm this like giant canary, and I basically did everything I could to try to make my character look like Satan, because I was going to go full evil.
Him?
Yeah, exactly. But then I kind of had to back off on that, because I can never go full evil in games like this. So I'm just like, this giant canary, and everybody, they're kind of weird around me, because the canary have kind of a bad reputation after the events of the second game. So I'm having trouble finding love. I think I might have finally found it with my diplomat woman from Orlais.
Tell us more about
her. Well, she has coworkers. But like, in order to, you know,
I like her candle clipboard.
Yeah, their candle clipboard is so good.
That.
In order to get into her good graces, you have to go on this long quest that involves you having to basically bribe and influence all of these different, like, diplomats and judges and stuff, and it's this humongous quest line of you just going around just like, okay, I need you to do me some favors. And I might have to break a few thumbs to get it done, but you're going to help me out, and this girl is going to like me, damn it.
Inquisitor going to get laid.
Do for love.
It's a work in progress.
All right, so what did you end up giving it?
I ended up giving it a 4 out of 5.
Why so low, bro?
Oh, no, 4.0, oh, no.
I know, so awful. Such a bad score. No, I kid. I mean,
there's some things like eventually, like, the game is huge. It gives you a lot to do, but there is an element of repetition to it. Just with like the individual quests themselves, a lot of it does end up boiling down to, hey, you arrive in this new area, go collect 25 of those things, go collect 10 of those things, and go get 12 of those things.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I've kind of done this before. I really liked Mass Effect 3's multiplayer, which Dragon Age Inquisition actually models their multiplayer off of, but I don't think it quite lives up to it. I feel like you're controlling a single character, you're running around with a group of three other people, and you're clearing out waves of enemies. In Mass Effect 3, this happens very quickly. In Dragon Age Inquisition, you're only controlling one character, and like, you obviously can't pause the game to do all sort of the tactical combat planning and positioning of troops. So you're just kind of running around, throwing spells, or swinging your sword. I was going to say thwacking your sword. but basically, it kind of just amounts to waiting for your cooldowns to refresh. You're not switching between weapons. You're not doing all the reload stuff or moving around between pieces of covers. It just doesn't feel as engaging or interesting. And then the worlds that you're exploring in multiplayer are these large dungeons that are like 90% empty, and you're just running around with your group of people looking for the next group of enemies, or every so often there's a pot over there with some gold that you can go break, and you did it. Now run back over there to where the enemies are. I'm just like, this, just give them to me in waves.
All right.
So what I get is you hated it.
hated every part. I mean, it's just,
you're being
not
realistic
as good.
About it. Yeah. That's what a review is. Okay. There was one other review that we really don't have time to talk about. I've said to say, but Far Cry 4, a freelancer reviewed it for us, but Anthony played it a tiny bit, or you played it, well, not a tiny bit. I played it a lot. Okay, well, very quickly, do you have, like, what's your feelings on it?
The story is interesting. It leaves a lot of air in between it for you to sort of, You sort of have to explore to figure out the full depth of the story, but they sort of give you pieces of it. If you don't journey down that road, then you won't catch it all. Other than that, it plays like an action movie. I mean, I was driving in a Jeep. I saw some buddies that I needed to help out. I hopped out, helped them out. I hopped back in, then a rhino flips the truck while I'm in it. And then on top of that, the truck goes into a lake, so now I had to abandon the truck, and then the rhino's looking at me like, oh, I thought I killed you. Oh, round two, and now I'm running from a rhino, and it just goes on and on like that.
That would make a great movie.
It's pretty fun.
The reviewer felt like the world looked great, like just incredible detail and huge, and that it uses the terrain really well in the firefights and just the action works really well, and that the co-op is like crazy, like that craziness you were just talking about, like kind of compounded, but that it didn't really build on Far Cry 3 in any like unique ways or any memorable ways. It's just like more Far Cry 3, and that the edgy plot becomes tiresome was another thought on it. So, but yeah, that person gave it a 4 out of 5 on the site, so still pretty good score. That, like Dragon Age, comes out next week, and that's, I think that might be, other than Smash Brothers, there's Smash Brothers and Pokemon to come. But other than that, and of course Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, but other than that, I think the big reviews of the year may be finally
done?
Dealt with.
Pardon there's you. Still... Pardon you, Kingdom
Hearts.
Well,
there's Hearts. Laura Croft, man. But I don't
Kingdom
know if we're
Hearts
gonna...
Kingdom Hearts HD? No.
Yeah.
HD.
Temple
Come
of Osiris?
No.
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 Okay.
What
no,
it
no.
would? No.
All right. Well, I would think Ashley would be on board with Tomb of Osiris.
I am. I'm
you're a Tomb Raider.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that.
I'll buy it if you buy it.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to take a quick break now. And when we come back, we're going to do the community segment with your answers to last week's question of the week. Are back. Hello. Let me say what it is.
Yes. Nope. We gotta go.
All these jams. So smooth.
I actually didn't mean to hit it that early. I'm sorry.
It's all right. So we had a lot of good responders. So I'm going to have to pass around my phone because we didn't print out anything, and this is out of juice. So don't scroll through my phone, any guys. But here, Lorenzo, read the one at the top there.
Going to scroll so much.
RXB says, drinking all day in the Caribbean on a boat. How can I not want to be a pirate?
Mm-hmm. Never thought I'd be on a boat.
That's a very short one.
Angels and Demons 1 says, I would choose to be a Frenchman, a baker. I would bake bread by day and feed the people delectable delights. And by afternoon's end, I would write poetry and share it with those of romantic interest by the wharf in hopes of inspiring diplomatic change to come.
God, that's so specific. I appreciate
it. That's really beautiful.
It's specific and practical.
Yep.
I appreciate it. Wait, so let's see. So I'm on this one. Okay, I see it. So I'm, Universal Tofu. That's what it says. A Frenchman, because a pirate is a pirate, but a Frenchman could be anything. Maybe even a pirate.
Oh, technical
brain hurts.
Winner 2 says, I'd be the Frenchman because while I love pirates, there just aren't as many beautiful women on the sea as there are in France. That and the bread, dear God, the bread. Oh, and the wine and the cheese. I can agree with all of that.
Everybody loves French bread.
That's surprising. I would have thought it would have gone French much heavier delicious. Pirate scheme.
Yeah.
It did among us. We were all like pirates.
Yeah, we were all pirates.
There were a lot of pirate answers, but I think clearly the best answers were the ones about French people.
It's just so easy.
I think the Frenchman got them to think outside the box because like pirates, pirate jokes are easy. Like, but right. Yeah, I think it's something clever to say about a Frenchman.
Drink up me hearties, yo-ho.
So Universal Tofu is the winner for this week.
Ooh.
So
You have listened this far to find out you're the winner. Send an email to radioradar@gamesradar.com. Announce yourself as Universal Tofu, the winner, and tell me what systems you have, and a free thing will be sent to y'all.
That seems right. They managed to cheat the system, so they got both. Congratulations.
Right. So with all the glitch talk this week, what is a memorable glitch that has ruined a game for you? Like, when has a glitch really messed up a game for you? Like, just any that comes to mind for y'all, guys.
Ruined a game.
Or just like one of just like, ugh, what the hell? Like, just that completely took you out of a game. Just be like, well, why is this glitch happening?
Could it be a really funny one?
Yeah, funny.
I mean, well, always think they're funny.
This one didn't ruin the game for me, but it did drive me crazy for a good couple of weeks. I was playing, I believe it was, oh crap, it was Sonic 3D Blast.
Ooh.
And I was running around.
Saturn or Genesis?
I think it would have been Genesis for me. I was running around. I think it was whatever the first island themed zone is. And I remember there was this puddle on the ground. And I'd been running around, and I got to the puddle, and I jumped over the puddle, and right when I landed, the game switched over to a stage select screen.
Oh.
And I was like, what is this? What is this? You know, I hadn't done anything on purpose. I hadn't seen any cheat codes for the game before. This was like maybe this is also a rental, too, and this maybe was the second time I'd started playing it. So I was like, how did I just accidentally enter the correct comp? So, you know, I did cheat screen and like went to this different level and I was like, isn't this cool? And then I had to, you know, turn it off and leave and come back later. Never again was I got to the puddle and I'm jumping around and it won't activate. I'm like, what is going on? It was here. I promise it was here. And then, yeah, to this day, still don't know how I was able to pull that off.
Wow. Pretty amazing.
So I see a lot of glitches in wrestling games. Like, those happen a lot. And just seeing, like, human, like, to make a human move in the way that's pro wrestling, but to make them a CG character, like, the game gets confused a lot with physics some of the times. And the one I remember most is in Legends of Wrestling. You're, like, the character is walking into the ring, but it forgets to walk up into the ring. Good. So he does the walk-up animation but stays on the ground floor and then just walks through the ring. And so the rest of the match, he is, like, stuck in the center of the ring, like half of his body floating above it.
Wow. That's a good one.
You just kick him in the head.
It's like, bam.
That's anybody else?
Lorenzo. No, go ahead. This one is a bit involved, but it's such a good one, I have to share it. So this is another Assassin's Creed glitch. This is specifically one from 3. I don't know if anyone else tried to do the homestead missions where you basically would go around and observe everyone living on the homestead doing something.
Right.
But I tried to do all of those, and there was one guy who would not do one action. So it was one action away from getting the achievement, and it was so pissed off because he would not do it. And I went out with my friends for an evening, came back just perhaps slightly inebriated, and was like, you know what? I'm going to beat this guy. I'm going to beat it. So I power up the game, and he tries to walk into his house. And in my drunk rage, I blocked him and pushed him out of the way and shut his door and would not let him go in. So eventually, he just floated into the air and extended his arms out in both directions and just started to float away.
What?
And just out of curiosity, what? I observed him, got the last action, and got the achievement.
Wow. Holy cow. That's amazing.
Great. Best glitch ever.
That's amazing. he was an angel.
Well, not to shy people away from playing Assassin's Creed games, but I was...
Most of them are really funny, okay?
I was playing Unity, and there was one part where I was following the NPC leader dude, right? Like, this is in the beginning of the game, and he, like, jumped off the roof, so I jumped off the roof, too. And I landed in a bale of hay, and... immediately, Arno stood straight up in the bale of hay, and I said, whoa, that's not normal. And then there was a guard right in front of the cart, got assassinated by an invisible person, got pulled halfway into the cart so his legs were, like, dangling and stuff. And then I was just, like, Arno was just standing there, and I couldn't move. Like, I couldn't move, and I was done. And then I pressed my Xbox button to get out, tried to sign out, and it totally crashed my Xbox.
Like, my
Xbox completely.
Xbox.
Yeah, it totally assassinated my Xbox.
The ultimate assassination.
But I did it again, and it didn't happen again.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I had one. Mine is super old. So for the NES, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. I was on the last level, and right when it booted up, you know, sometimes the pixels go funky and they start scrambling, and I was like, oh, okay, a couple of the things were moving, and a couple of them weren't, so I thought I was jumping on a platform, but I jumped on a bad guy, and I died, and that was my last life, and was the end of the game because of something
There's
that was
no
pixelated.
Save point, yeah.
Nope, we didn't have save points then. All we had were passwords.
That's crazy.
That's dumb.
If even that.
Okay, so share your most memorable glitch into the comments for this week's episode on GamesRadar.com, and you might win something like Universal Toe did this week. All right, we're reaching the end here. Like, Lorenzo, you want to tell us about any upcoming things going on stream-wise?
Yeah, if you haven't checked out our stream, be sure to check us out on Mondays from 4 to 6 and Wednesdays from 3:30 to 5. Pacific time. We also give away all kinds of games, and it's the holiday season, so we're getting all kinds of awesome stuff in the office. So this is a very good time to join up
really
on the stream. Follow
gift.
Us.
We got a really goofy gift today that I look forward to sharing with somebody.
Oh,
today.
Yes.
Yeah, and we give those things to you guys on the stream, but
we don't keep them for ourselves.
Yeah.
We are not colluding or corrupt in any way.
Yeah, so follow us on Twitch, and you might be able to win something.
But remember when we just got something we thought was a really good prize, which was...
Oh, my God. It was just full of candy.
We got a box we got that box. Yeah, we got a box seemed to be Xbox One, a new Xbox One, plus a copy of Assassin's Creed Unity. We're like, well, hell, this will be the best giveaway we ever did.
Yeah.
And then Lorenzo gets an email.
Yeah, I get an email, and it's like, that box is not an Xbox One. That is a Xbox One box full of French food. So I had, like, biscuits and stuff.
Biscuits. Sausage. And a beret that I wore very irritably.
And so that one we did, we actually did eat that one because we're not allowed to give away food. Yeah. So it was like, it was either garbage or our mouths. And so
I got some raspberry jam out of that gift basket.
Great. So
anyway, yeah, you can win more stuff by following us on Twitch.
Yes!
Twitch.
Right. And if you follow us on Twitter, you'll also see us tweet about when we're going to be doing a new stream. So you can keep up with that. Games Radar on Twitter or Radio Radar on Twitter for the official one for this. Facebook too, and review this on iTunes. All that other good stuff.
YouTubes.
YouTube too. Yeah, YouTube as well. All right. So until next time, until 2 weeks, because I'm going to be out of here.
Uh-oh.
Radio Radar